Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Runners World Podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're speaking about the treadmill, giving you an ultimate guide to that much maligned machine.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. That was a nice start. Well done.
Well, we're not alone as well. We've got Rachel Boswell's joining us as the resident treadmill expert Runners World.
Hello. I shall impart the knowledge that I have.
Excellent.
You know, have we all used a treadmill before?
Well, I think that's a good place to start, Ben.
All right,
yeah,
good.
You are an expert as well, Ben.
Well, I've tried a variety of them. So I've written about them and tested them and have used them probably quite at some periods of my life fairly extensively for for training blocks. They very much like have factored in. It's not like, oh, it's raining outside, I'll use a treadmill.
It might actually be like
I might do all of my speed work on a treadmill.
Okay.
And do it that way. Because I can't get to the track easy. Like if I want like set distances, set paces, that's where it's like absolute
gold. Comes into its own.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, you're training for the Boston Marathon, no less. Is the treadmill playing a role in this training?
A tiny bit. I go through phases with the treadmill. Love-hate relationship. Do enjoy the odd run-of-the-mill run on the mill.
That's good there.
But yes, it has played a part.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I want to give you a bit of history before we start.
Go.
Right at the start, because obviously the treadmill's had a PR problem for many years, Ben, and it's not surprising, frankly, because it started as punishment. Treadmills were introduced in 1818 as a means of punishing idle prisoners. English engineer Sir William Cubitt came up with the idea and trialled it in Bury St Edmunds Jail, and essentially it was a treadmill was rotated on a horizontal axis, requiring the user to step upward, like walking on an endless staircase.
People do that now in the gym.
That's called the stair stepper.
So it's like a kind of precursor to that as well. And in 1865, the Prison Act of 1865 said every male prisoner over 16 was sentenced to hard labour and had to spend a considerable amount of time on the treadmill.
Wow.
So it has its history in kind of self-flagellation or just punishment, really. And then the first,
I wonder if there are any like elite 19th century runners who came from the prison system.
Maybe. Hard labour. It probably makes you fit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I guess the kind of treadmill as we know it was first developed by a guy called William Staub in 1968. And that was called the Pacemaster 600. And that was the first treadmill.
Wow.
So that was kind of treadmill for pleasure. So it took quite a while.
Great name.
It is. Yeah. It's ahead of its time. Pacemaster 600.
Yeah, imagine.
That's great.
Bring it back. I bet it's on eBay somewhere. Probably cost an absolute fortune.
So what about you? Because I feel like me and Rachel are like, yeah, get a treadmill, it's great. And you're...
I think that I have been, at times in my running career, sort of actively anti-treadmill and probably assumed that people who ran on treadmills just didn't really like running. It was like, oh, you're probably doing that because you feel like you're doing 20 minutes in the gym.
Yeah.
And you're just, you know, you're on the treadmill. But people like me who like running, I'm outside. Of course I am.
Yeah, I mean, you know... I'm a huge fan of the outside world.
Yeah,
it's my go-to location.
But yeah, I've had to kind of sort of become more moderate, really, because I realise that actually some really good runners use it for reasons I hope we'll go into. But like that, it's not just a kind of last resort or something that, you know, the reserve for people who don't actually really like. Yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned the PR of it, because it's still like, obviously, there's the dreadmill.
The dreadmill.
Yeah. Everyone sort of likes throwing that one out. They're like, oh, long session on the dreadmill today. And you're like, all right, yeah, cool. But I think it's always just the association, isn't it? Like, it's just like, oh, as you say, they can't really love running that much if they're just using a treadmill, or it's people in their pain cave. that's another thing that needs needs to get relegated to the bin, the use of that phrase.
Yeah, or like, oh, like you only use the treadmill because you're like a fair weather runner or something.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be hardy. Exactly. If you're not outdoors in the absolute worst conditions ever, then it's like... Whereas I think it's a tool to be utilised and enjoyed.
Well, I like that too. And there's a few studies here, and I want to talk to you about this one, because one study found that you experience lower body strains on the tibia less when running on a treadmill. So therefore, it's quite a good rehabbing for stress fracture, which is something you've had. Did you use a treadmill in that process of kind of getting back to road running?
Yeah, so actually... the turn of the year had a bit of a foot niggle, stress response. And actually, like you guys, I prefer running outdoors. It's generally more exciting. However, when my foot started to play up, I did actually turn to the treadmill, because it is that kind of softer, more forgiving sort of surface. And also, like, I kind of thought, okay, I'm going to give running a go here. And if it's not feeling right, I can just stop. And I'm in the, like, I use a treadmill at the gym. I don't have a home treadmill. But I'm like, I'm here. I can just stop, get on the bike, do something else. I'm not like 3 miles from home and think, oh no, I've got to get back. Like, it's a kind of almost like a safety blanket. So that's why I quite like treadmills for when I'm, I mean, I see the benefits like throughout the year, but like, you know, if something's not feeling right, the treadmill's a safe bet.
It's a really good point, isn't it? Because you could be like 5 miles out on the trail somewhere and be like, oh, God.
I was talking to someone the other day who was going to practice another thing with the treadmill that they found really good, which some people might not have considered, is the treadmill is a very safe space to practice nutrition regimes that you're not sure what the output's going to be.
Oh, mate, interesting.
Never thought of that.
So they are going, right, if I try these gels on the treadmill, and it's particularly if you are very susceptible to GI issues, and that's like a big deal for you, treadmill's a really good one, because you can start running, I know it's not ideal, but if you're like, I'm going to do 15K on a treadmill and have a couple of gels and see what happens.
Yeah.
You're at home or the gym. There's facilities nearby.
That's good.
Like, exactly.
I think that's quite a good little approach. And also, you could experiment, you know, with anything. Just, you know, eat a pizza on the treadmill. You're at home. Put, you know, get it in the oven, see what happens.
Not?
Real ultra stuff, yeah.
So I was looking into a few stats of like, or studies, is like, is it, do you run differently on a treadmill than you do outdoors? Yeah. And one suggested that if you've had calf or Achilles injuries, running outside might be better, because you're more likely to land midfoot or forefoot on a treadmill, apparently, which is quite surprising. And also, the 1% rule, which is like... apparently, there's not much evidence to suggest that you need to put a treadmill up by 1% incline to get the same as running outdoors. But it does change if you're running faster. So apparently... you should put it up to 1% if you're running faster than 8 to 10 miles per hour. So 7:26 to 6 minute miling, you should put it up.
I was all my speed stuff. I'd always have up 1%.
Okay, yeah.
Because it does. And then there's the different treadmills, which we'll probably go on to, but there's like the curved ones, which you use to generate the energy yourself. And they're very much like for sprinting, for big, that sort of stuff. That's not a... You see them at the gym and you hear them firing
you
up
them.
When people start stamping. There's this
sort of panic.
Yeah, they're like sprinty ones. Yeah.
So what, that is good though. So what are the kind of the categories of treadmill, do you think?
I mean, from things that we've tested and had on Runners World, and feel free to go onto runnersworld.com/UK, because there is a guide to all the treadmills. But... you know, you have your basic ones like that you would just buy outright. Most of them these days tend to be smart, as in they have a degree of connectivity with them. So they'll connect to a device or a foot pod or whatever it is, however sort of the scale of what you want to use the treadmill for. You can get really basic ones which aren't smart. You're sort of trading off on quality when it comes to sort of the belt, the motor, how well put together it is.
Yeah.
Sort of how sprung the base is, all these sort of different characteristics. And then it slides on scale of like speed, maximum incline. Some even have decline if you can get ones that you can run downhill.
Amazing.
Which is, you know, but you're, each time you add a quality or a new feature, it bumps up a price.
Okay.
And you can go from, you can get one for £500 probably, and it's like fine, and it moves, and it will probably last a bit, all the way through to like commercial grade, as in you would find these in the gym, but you can buy them and they're £10.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and it's like, depends on how serious you are, but like you can spend a lot of money on a treadmill.
You could spend your life on a treadmill. Mm. I mean, you got everything you need.
But you don't. The thing is, I think that lots of the basic, more sort of 2,000, less, bit less than that, you're getting something really pretty good. Like, there's some very, like, everything connected. I mean, and it's not just the treadmill then. You can buy into platforms. Obviously, you've got Peloton. You've got, like, different ones like Echelon. You've got Apple Fitness, you know, all of these new community/platforms which are centered around being on a Zwift. Huge.
Yeah.
Zwift Running is like, and then there's more coming out. You're on these things and you have a certain pod to, or however you want to, like, connect to the app, and it will tell you your speed. But you can get quite the metrics, and the pacing is always pretty good, and you get a fair idea of what you're doing. And yeah, I mean, it's clever.
Yeah.
There's clever stuff with the treadmill now. Yeah. And you know, and the element of community that things like Zwift bring make it way more of a, like, a community aspect. It's not on you're not some lonely, you're not in a sort of in your garage all lonely running away. You can actually do it with other people. So I think that's good. An improvement to it.
Yeah. I think with Zwift, actually, I mean, I've never actually used Zwift, and it is actually something that I would try. Like, I'm genuinely thinking of getting one of these foot pods.
Yeah.
Just to make it more interesting, and also kind of gamifies the experience. Yeah. Like, you create your own avatar and you run your way to, like, unlock, like, new kit and stuff, and that's cool.
Even your sessions, like, there's sessions you do that they've put in there, or you can put something in, and you know, you run through a lighted arch when it's your session time to start, and it, like, pings up with a noise, and you're like, you're off, and it says your pace, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
Smart things speed up for you automatically. Like, you're not that, you know, you can control these things, but you can predetermine speed, and like, and you're literally like, the ground moves beneath your feet without you having to do anything.
Yeah.
So it becomes really precise.
It's a long way from the prison treadmill, isn't it? We've moved a long way.
Yeah. So I think that the technology in treadmills now makes it
more appealing,
and perhaps if you're community minded with your running, then there's a lot out there that you can do.
Should we talk about some of the best sessions to do on the treadmill? Because it does seem to come into its own for certain things. I was thinking tempo running is maybe one way, because it's something that probably runners get wrong a lot, probably go off too quickly, whereas a tempo session on the treadmill feels like something that where you can set this kind of dedicated time. Is that something, I mean, you're talking about speed, but do you do some tempo stuff on there, Rachel?
So I'm pretty bad at pacing myself. I usually use the treadmill more for, like, I guess, like, recovery stuff, because I usually in the outdoor world go off too quickly, or I just get my pace wrong or whatever. So actually with the treadmill, you set your pace and you can just stick with it and you can change it. And I like it the way that it just keeps you in line. And you're either, like, working hard to hit, like, a pace, or slowing down enough. So actually, I do quite actually like the treadmill, not necessarily for, like, interval sessions, because I have this irrational fear of falling off the back end of the treadmill. But like, to actually force you to a pace, whatever pace that might be, I really rate it for that. And I know the calibration can be off sometimes, so you should go by feel, but it is that kind of safe space for, like, I'm doing this pace and I know that I'm at that pace, and that's quite comforting.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's always that you set your Garmin or whatever watch you use to treadmill run and start running, and your treadmill will say you're doing X, Y, and Z, and your watch says you're doing this, and you're like, what the heck? But, yeah, in calibration aside, the speed of the treadmill is the main thing. So
once
you get good at converting kilometers or whatever the speed of the belt is, you know, that it is.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm going to do these efforts at 16 kilometers an hour.
Yep.
Or whatever it is. You know that you've equated that to be whatever speed it is. So it's like, that's the one. It's like, you've just got, it just takes a little bit more math.
Okay.
And then you're there and you can kind of dial in. But on what Rachel's saying, that pace control thing's really good.
Mm.
I can't say I've ever really gone for a long, slow run on a treadmill. That's not, but
that feels like the hardest sell, I think.
100%. But if you are terrible at controlling your speed and you go off too quick and you're injury prone or whatever it is, doing a couple where you go, right, I need to be doing 9-minute miling, that equates to 11 kilometers. I don't know, I don't know what that is. But, and you set the treadmill at that, it's a good way of being like, learning, this is my pace.
Yeah.
This is how I should be doing it. Then you also can get other metrics out of it. Oh, my heart rate is actually, you got your strap on and you know that you can be going, oh, my heart rate's actually at 128. I've been doing all of my long slows at 140.
Yeah.
It's a metric, like, it can teach you that those things. I think that's what's useful with it.
Yeah, that is good.
I guess something I love doing on a treadmill, love, I know it's a strong word, but I really enjoy doing progression runs on a treadmill.
Yeah, okay.
Because, again, with the pace, you can really control it.
Satisfying.
Oh, that graph you get, it's just such a beautiful graph, and it's just so,
So just for anyone who's not familiar with progression running, what do you mean?
Well, ideally you would negative split rather than positive split. So that means getting quicker with each kilometre or mile. Mm. So you would say start off the recovery or easy pace, and then you'd finish quicker, and gradually with each mile or kilometre, get quicker.
But what's really nice on the treadmill is if you've equated the speed per little jump, you get to the end, you know, it says you've done a kilometre. Just that little pace up tap on the button. Very like, there I am, perfect.
I'm there with it.
It's really satisfying.
We talked with Tom Goom a few times, haven't we? Our kind of injury podcast, and he said that cadence work was actually quite good to do on the podcast. So like a lot of people's cadence could go up to maybe somewhere between sort of 170 to 185. And that's quite easy to do on a treadmill because, again, you can set that kind of consistent pace. Probably quite a controllable environment as well, I guess.
It's time for an advert.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
And now back to the podcast.
Yeah, it does take some getting used to the belt speed and cadence. Like those two things, you can, the belt, if it's especially slower, will kind of can dictate a slower cadence.
Yeah.
Because it feels odd.
Yeah.
But once you sort of like find the sweet spot, this is my personal experience, I found that like the slower stuff is a bit like, oh, this is, and it's much easier to run better on a treadmill faster. Like that's the thing I found, like the outside's easy slow running feels,
I would agree,
better.
Because when you're outside, you're dealing with that different kind of terrain. You're like, you're crossing roads, or there's tree roots or whatever, and that naturally slows you down. It doesn't feel like it's slowing you down as you're running because you're just navigating your way and trying not to fall over. Whereas on a treadmill, you, unless you have a really sort of fancy treadmill that replicates that, it's smooth, flat, like prime conditions, Monzo racetrack kind of conditions. And so I kind of get what you're saying with that, actually. It does feel slower.
It does feel weird. Like that's the main one I've always thought, like, but like fast stuff, so back to your original question, what sessions? Tempo for sure, progressions absolutely, out and out efforts. Really good.
And I think hills, right? I think almost for us in the southeast, like hills are like, that's probably where I would, as someone who's like, not anti-treadmill, we talked about this. But I think like, you know, we've got this Orion 15 thing coming up. Which is an Epping Forest. So like it's not going up to the lakes, but by southeast standards, it's like where I live, getting that kind of elevation in is relatively difficult, I would say. Whereas I could go on a treadmill, like I was chatting to Jack Scott, who won the Spine, and he said that he did this session on a 25% gradient treadmill, which I think is not all treadmills go up to that, right? But yeah, he did an hour of varying between 5.5 kilometres an hour to 7.3 kilometres an hour. And in an hour, he racked up 5,000 feet of climbing. It's like you just couldn't replicate that in most parts of Britain.
It's you know, most treadmills probably go up to, even if it goes up to 12%.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's still
a steep hill.
That's a really good hill.
Yeah.
And there's lots of, like, lots of benefits from not even doing a lot of, like, obviously you need to do some running, that's really good, but there's the benefits of doing, like, what's that word, that treadmill workout that was like,
oh, it was 3 minutes, like 330
something,
I think, gradient.
Gradient, yeah. Time-specific hike. Yeah. And it's actually like that sort of stuff is really good on a treadmill. Like, you can really like power through and just like work those big power muscles without having to run, and your probably heart rate will be good. And yeah, the hill stuff is really definitely.
I think, yeah, if you're not, you know, in the mountains or in the hills, you can't find a hill that's half an hour to get up.
Again, you're never going to have a hill that's that flat. So you've got to deal with the things.
Sure, yeah,
you're
okay.
Not, you know, when you're ascending whatever, it's obviously your foot placement is constantly changing because you're looking for the easiest place and the best place to put your feet. That's not the same on a treadmill, but you are getting the muscles worked in a way that only hills can do. And it's all that sort of stuff, and that proper, like, oh, this is really hard, like, yeah. that sort of stuff. Yeah,
because I think quite a lot of ultramarathoners do actually use the treadmill. And I remember when I sort of first found this out, I was like, but ultramarathoners, you love the outdoors, you love being out there, but it's not always practical to be out in hilly terrain constantly for hours on end. You know, like Elsie Davis, Tom Evans, they all use the treadmill in their training. Actually reminds me that Tom Evans did the Three Peaks on the treadmill.
Oh, I
in lockdown.
It was a lockdown thing, wasn't
it? Yeah, he did them back to back. I think he covered like 3,000 metres of elevation back to back, and he did it in like 4.5 hours.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
He's good. Someone should sign that guy up.
Yeah. And we looked a little bit into common treadmill mistakes, Rachel. Hit us up with a couple of those.
So common mistake a lot of people do is standing too close to the front of the belt. And I used to do this myself because of, as I mentioned before, my fear of falling off the back.
Right, yeah.
Genuine. So I'd like hug the front like for dear life. But that's only going to sort of limit your arm movements. You're not going to be able to drive through your arms properly. It shortens your stride. So basically your form's off, and it's not good. So ideally run in the middle of the belt so you can like drive your arms, have like a natural stride and basically sort of replicate how you'd run outside. A lot of treadmills obviously had handrails as well. Again, another common mistake is people holding on to them. If you're holding onto the handrail, you might want to slow down or like, you know, reduce the
they're great for the end, like for the start, saving yourself at the end of of an interval.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
perfect. And also again, jumping to the side of the belt where there's a bit of a platform. Great. That's what makes the thing. But yeah, not holding on the whole time.
No,
that's not right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good for your form. And if you're using the treadmill to practice for a race that is outdoors, because most of them are, you're not going to have handrails to hold on to. You might have like a person to hold on to, but not a handrail. So try not to do that. Also, wearing too many layers, I think, or not having the right ventilation, because this always gets me. Sometimes I go on the treadmill because I'm feeling like a fair weather runner, and I was like, I just don't want to get rained on. It's too cold. So I'll run inside and forget how hot it can get running inside on a treadmill. So even if it's, you know, -1 degrees outside in January, run as if it's the summer, because it's going to get warm. So don't wear too many layers, or have layers which you can peel off.
That heat thing's interesting, because I found this is again like maybe just a little it's both my personal experience, but when I've been running, having like a towel to obviously mop, because you're going to be sweaty, but how disorientating trying to wipe your face is with a towel when you're running on a treadmill. Like you're not really considering it. So you're running along, and if you're sort of like trying quite hard, then you think, oh, I've got the sweat dripping down my face, I'm going to just get the towel. You get the towel, you're running along, you go to wipe your face, and all of a sudden, you can't see because you've wiped your face. It is bizarre. Like, you think you're immediately going to fly off. Like, so I'm just, if anyone's like, it takes some getting used to. Like, that's another thing I found, like, oh my God, wait, I couldn't see anything. The floor's moving. That's panic. They made me panic.
That's hilarious.
I have had that before where I'm on the treadmill for a while. It feels like forever, but it's like 10K or something.
Yeah.
And I'll like look around a bit, and then like, I'm like, whoa, like,
you look around
and then you suddenly are like, oh my God,
I shouldn't look around.
Concentrate.
But yeah, I sort of going back to the sort of numbers thing we were talking about earlier, like, I wouldn't wouldn't obsess over the numbers, like if your Garmin or smartwatch, whatever you're using, isn't calibrated, you know, just don't worry about that, go by feel. And, you know, like,
just staring at the screen.
Yeah, staring, try not to stare at the screen. I mean, that's what I end up doing because I have no form of entertainment. But I feel like that's preparing me mentally for the marathon.
The monotony of the marathon.
mental resilience.
The screen thing is like one thing I think that, and this is like talking, even like I've had 10 grand commercial grade things in, and one of the things they've done badly is put the screen, and this comes with like a telly on it, essentially. Okay. Like modern treadmills have these big screens. They're too low.
Mm.
And I think this is a big thing for like people when they're running in the gym or at home with a treadmill, and they've got something that, if it's Zwift on an iPad or something like that, it's not. When you're running, you've got to think about how you naturally look ahead, right?
Yeah.
And like that's how your form stays good, posture's important, upright, that whole like head to the sky, all the sort of, all the key things you're meant to say to yourself at mile 20 when you're all slumped and stand tall and run big and all that sort of stuff. Basically, it's the same thing. And I feel like if you look down at a screen, you're immediately like putting your chin down means you're changing all your posture. So if you can, and you should, if you're going to run with Zwift or watch anything, make sure that you stand on the treadmill, look ahead of you, and wherever your eyes are, like stand tall, wherever your eyes like hit, that's where the screen needs to be. Because then you're going to be looking straight ahead and running towards the thing you're watching. And that's important. Because I think that a lot of bad treadmill stuff comes from being like, oh, I'm all hunched because I'm quite tall. So maybe it's more of an issue, but I find that looking down thing. So if you are going to have a home setup, or even if you're going to go to the gym, be the person who takes a stand and like put it, like make sure you've got some way of having your phone up or something like that, just because it will make a big difference.
Have you got any more advice for treadmills for home use? Because I think this is something that you have had multiple treadmills at
home. Yeah. So setup is important, and by that I mean where you're putting it.
Yeah.
Because regardless of how much marketing spiel about quietness, treadmills are loud.
Yes.
And there's some things you can do that can make it better for your house and your neighbours if they're in the mid-terrace or something. The floor that it goes on is a big one. I've had a treadmill in that was 10 grand, which is a techno gym, very, very smart, good treadmill. But they were like, it's really, really quiet. And I'm sure that in a gym with a very thick rubberized floor and some sound treatment, it is. When you put it in my knackered old conservatory with a hard wooden floor that sits on concrete and surrounded by glass, it's loud. So you've got to, like, you know, that's not their fault. That's my conservatory. But you've got to sort of have this sort of sense of being like, all right, well, if I'm going to, whatever room it's going in, there will be some noise. So if I can put rubber flooring down, even if it's just going and getting them like multicolored kiddie soft play mats, even that will make a difference. Yeah. Most treadmills will come with some sort of shock absorption in them, so you're kind of like that bounding. Like, and obviously, if you're a heavy foot striker, then it will generate more noise than not. As I say, screen height, whatever you're using as your thing. I mean, if it's built into the treadmill and it can't really get to the right height, then I would say try and find something else to use, because that's the main thing. But like a TV on a wall is the dream scenario. Sure. TV mounted on the wall ahead of you, so you've got like proper, you can see it all. And that's where I would say, like, another purchasing thing, if you're buying a treadmill for it to be smart, get one that's good but doesn't have, like, some of them sell it now, the screen's a big selling point.
Okay.
Spend that money, save the money on a big screen, spend it on a second hand telly off of something that you know you can connect. Spend the money on that rather than doing it with the sort of like all built in as one thing, because then that adjustability is on you rather than the machine. And then, wherever you're putting it, really, just realise that you're going to be sweaty. It's going to be, if it's not a ventilated space, and, you know, like, you access to a window is good. And you can get fans that you can, that like, you connect to and all that sort of stuff. So, but you will make a lot of condensation. Yes. So, like, there's that sort of ventilation is definitely one of the things.
It's not in the bedroom, is it? You've got to move out the bedroom.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, how to make treadmill running more interesting. I think we've talked about it a bit already. Run with a podcast. Doesn't have to be this one, but it could be.
Should be.
You might be on the treadmill now as you're listening.
Oh, I hope so.
If you are on the treadmill now and you've listened to this, email us, podcast@runswell.co.uk. Not on the treadmill, that'd be dangerous.
Have you ever done those, the inbuilt workouts on the treadmill?
Yeah, they're good. I have, yeah. And I, because I've used a lot of the platform ones. So like Echelon, Peloton, Apple. If you sign up for any of those things, I think they're great. Especially if you're either new to running or kind of a bit stuck with what you should do for your running, or you're looking to supplement like a session a week to something that you're like, whatever it is. You could base your whole training around all the things that they have on there. That, most of them are good now. But it was quite nice to sort of go, oh, I've got a speed session to do. Maybe I'll see what's on here. And like, you know, if you've got 25 minutes, it's time you've got like a little window or whatever it is, and you can't get out. By the time you've got your kit on and gone outside the house, 25 minutes is like 15. So if you're at home and you can, you know, you get
That's true. There's a little time saving.
Yeah, there is a little time. So, you know, and you can go on there and it switches on and you're watching some people do some running and they sort of like tell you what speed to put your treadmill at and you're away you go. And it's completely like all decisions are not yours. It's completely like it's unresponsible running in that way that you can be like, it's not on me, it's on the session. I'm just like being told
just
what to do.
It,
I'm sweating, this is great. And it's like that's what's the built in ones, anyone who's probably used like an old treadmill like 10 years ago when you basically were presented with like a little dotted red screen matrix.
Yeah.
It was like the hill session was just literally like up and down.
Yeah.
It's got better.
Okay, well, that's
so
good.
It's all right, you know.
That's good.
Yeah. But I think the inbuilt ones are pretty good, yeah. Like, and also, like, you can whatever plan you sign up for, you probably get an even better training peaks. Or I mean, there's so many platforms now. I mean, we talk about Zwift because it's the biggest one, but like again, Zwift, all the stuff you can do on that is. Yeah. So, what makes it treadmill running more interesting these days is probably that it's not the treadmill. Treadmills are still treadmills. It's the gamification.
What about racing someone next year? That's better, isn't it?
Oh, that's fun.
You must get that in the gym. I feel like blokes are always doing that, aren't they?
Well, yeah,
can
of course
it outlast someone? So yeah. The backyard ultra in the treadmill. Yeah. I would never do that. So when I'm not staring at the screen, as in the numbers on the screen, training my mental resilience. The treadmills I use at my gym, some of them you can like pick locations around the world. So like the other day I was like, oh, Queenstown, New Zealand, that sounds nice. Yeah. And so it would like play, I don't know, like some drone footage, like going around like actual Queenstown, and you're just like plodding along. And then the treadmill will like sort of like go up and down as you like go. And that was like, it's not like a proper workout, but it was just a nice like, oh, I feel like I'm running somewhere nice. And oh, it's gone up a bit down.
Yeah, some
that's quite nice.
Some treadmills and some apps. Now, like, you can put in a famous race course. Like, you can do, and it will actively do the elevation for, like, you. So you could go and do the Marathon de Mont Blanc or whatever it is, and it will have the course, and it will adjust for that. So in terms, if that's your race, and you had access, you could course recce, like, in terms of, like, the effort.
Yeah.
So that's amazing from your, you know, from your gym or from your home. Like, that sort of stuff makes it, they're expensive.
On the price front, then.
Yeah.
In your experience, do you think treadmills is an area where there are bargains to be had, or you get what you pay for?
You get what you pay for. I think that once you get past a certain threshold, you are actually just like, there's...
So you're getting into £10,000, a huge amount of money to ask someone to spend on treadmills.
You're getting into technological advancement that most would probably not even be like... So this 10K treadmill was brilliant. And it had an individualized slat. So the belt was like a tank track, if you imagine that, rather than a continuous loop of like material or whatever it was. Individual slats, which then all ran on a separate bearing. So it wasn't just like a flat surface, technically. You were running on something which adjusted to when you were running. Yeah. So there was it like, oh, it feels a bit more real life. It's a bit more, and but... between that and a £3,000 treadmill that has all the functionality that one had, but a belt that's just a belt, three grand.
Okay, but you couldn't get something. If you said I want to spend £500, you're going to get something that's.
Well, I don't know. There's always the route of like an old model. So brands like Noble Pro, like they'll produce you know, X number of models, and they might then bring out a new one, and the one that it takes over will be reduced.
Okay, yeah. It's maybe worth shopping around.
Yeah, I think it's always worth shopping around and like having a look. No, 500 quid would get you a pretty good treadmill, I still think. Yeah. I don't think it's like, because there's lockdown especially, the treadmill market basically blew up, and I think lots of people were like, oh, we should make treadmills. And so they did. So the kind of like the knock-on effect of that is that the sort of level of production was probably all right, and like more and more people made fairly good budget
treadmills. Yeah.
And most things are Bluetooth enabled and smart and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think if you shopped around for 500 quid, you could
get something.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
you can get yourself a backwards treadmill now, which is made specifically for backwards running.
Yeah, there is that. I think that a lot of gyms got really cross with people going on treadmills and like just not switching them on and like doing the resistance.
Oh, the resistance, the backwards kind of walking resistance.
And like pushing it so the motor was basically just being destroyed by people like pushing. So there's that sort of stuff. And you can now buy treadmills which have that sled feature built in.
Right.
So yeah, there's all sorts of... The cross-training element of a treadmill is quite good. There's a lot of stuff like brands, if you buy up for a package of training, your session could be like you're doing a sprint interval, but you're getting off the treadmill and doing some like body weight workout, then you're back on again. So there's, you know, it becomes a bit more interesting.
What I actually do like about using the treadmill at the gym is that, okay, I'm at the gym now, may as well do some strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
May as well hop on the bike. So actually, from that perspective, I am more likely to sort of, is it brick? Do a brick?
Yes. Yeah.
So I've used the bike a lot recently. Yeah. So if I'm there, then I'm more likely going to do that necessary strength and conditioning stuff just because I'm in that environment.
So that brings us to the end of this delightful treadmill discussion. Let us know what you think of the treadmill, podcast at runaswell.co.uk. Well, that's the end of the episode there, isn't it?
Oh, we did it.
We did it. I think we covered most things about the treadmill. I hope we did.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything more to say about it.
I think we're going to get on and do the hill session. That's the one that's most appealing to me. I feel like that's really, it's really bringing a bit of USP there, isn't it?
Yeah. Practice for Heartbreak Hill in Boston.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
That's the one.
That's it, yeah. Give us a spiel about what all the subscriptions, Ben.
Oh, you want to know how to subscribe to Run As World,
Yes, please.
Rick?
Yes, please.
Go on the internet.
All right.
Google it. Run As World UK subscription. You'll find a link. There'll be an amazing offer on. You can get it cheap as, but the quality remains the same. It's an absolute bargain. Subscribe to this podcast too. Distribute it amongst your friends and your pals. Leave us a review. Nice one.
Yeah, positive one,
please. Yeah, positive one, please. We don't really like the negative ones, funnily enough. But thank you so much for listening. And you'll hear from us next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.